I'm David W. Berner, and this is The Writer Shed. Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 3 of the Writer Shed podcast from Writer Shed Press, an indie publisher just outside of Chicago with its offices, yes, inside an 8x10 writing shed on the property of its founder, me. In this episode, Courtney Simons, who has found the beauty and the benefits of haiku.
My name is Courtney Simons, and I'm a writer based in Ottawa, Canada, that works during the daytime for Shopify as editor-in-chief.
And today, we're going to explore how this simple poetry, haiku, can help your creative life. Courtney wrote about it recently on Medium, and for her, this ancient poetry is just another extension of humans being human, telling stories.
And I think that a lot of people, they hear the word narrative or story, and they get really scared. If that's not your bread and butter, they think it's this complex arc that takes, you know, finessing and months of research. And of course, there is an art to it, but it's really just about being human and being real and conveying a feeling, you know, in a really clear way. And that's what I love to do.
Yeah, I mean, you know, humans have been telling stories for a long, long time, just in different platforms and different ways now. So, and one of those ideas about storytelling is, you know, to find the language that works. And you had written a story on Medium that gave us a sense of what the simple haiku, and, you know, I use the word simple because it's short, not necessarily a simple act, what a haiku do for our language and for our storytelling. Why do you think that's something that can help us?
Yeah, I started working with haikus because I was feeling sort of frustrated. You know, I identified as a writer. It was something I was so passionate about. I would describe myself that way and was very proud of it. But I found that if I didn't have a project or an objective on the go, I wasn't writing enough. And that cognitive dissonance was really uncomfortable. You know, how can I be a writer if I'm not writing? And so I decided that I needed to take it into my own hands and find something I could do every single day that was achievable, not just saying I'm going to write a chapter of a book every day, even after a long, you know, 9-to-5 job. I thought maybe something shorter and simpler, like a haiku, could be a good way to do that because, you know, it's only 17 syllables, right? It's sort of three lines. So simple, but so complicated at the same time, because the goal of writing is to sort of take a picture in your own brain and convey it as close to perfect as you can within someone else's. And doing that within the constraints of a haiku is a really interesting challenge because you're forced to think strategically about every word and every syllable, which I really, really liked as a challenge.
Yeah, I had started writing, you know, haikus off and on a little bit over the last year or so too. And that's what struck me about your article. Not to say that they're any good, but they are certainly a way to kind of stretch yourself. Mm-hmm. But how do you know when it's good? I mean, how do you know when you write a good haiku?
I think a lot of it comes from reading it out loud. You know, haikus aren't always going to rhyme or have the same rhythm. They're sort of stuck in that constraint of that 5-7-5 syllable count. But when you read it out loud and it sounds good to your ears and sort of that's vague, but I think writers might understand what we mean by that. And when you've chosen words that are not overly complicated necessarily, but are very precise, you know, if they can draw to mind a very specific thought or feeling within just one word, instead of having to take a whole sentence worth, that's sort of when you know you're finessing your haiku properly, when you're sort of encapsulating these really complicated sentiments within one small vessel that is just a tiny word.
Is there a way to sort of like ramp up to it? You know, like how can you, you know, do your warm-up exercises before you actually start to write one?
I find that taking the pressure off yourself really helps, thinking, you know, your notebook is only for you. And so anything you write just by free writing or challenging yourself to get words on the page, just get that going. Maybe try for haikus that don't sound great. Stick to the syllable count, but don't worry too much about word choice and just have fun with it and play with it. When the stakes are really low, I find that creativity is unleashed. I also think that sometimes you can't wait for motivation to hit you. Not every day you're going to say, wow, I feel like writing. Sometimes you need that discipline. And so for me, that looks like setting myself up in a room, doing whatever I need. I like to light candles and have a tea and have this little productivity timer. And I set it for an hour or more. And I say, you know, I have to write or do nothing. I can't pick up my phone. I can't talk to anyone. I must sit and write. And sort of forcing yourself to only do that is a great warm-up strategy, because otherwise you're going to do nothing. You may as well write.
Yeah, it's really easy to, you know, check your email.
or any number of notifications, right? It's we're always bombarded.
Yeah. So, you know, in traditional haiku, there are certain rules. You know, you always hear about this, you know, it has to be about nature or it has to be this and that. I mean, do you stick to that?
I did not. I really did stick to the syllable and line structure. But outside of that, you know, I wanted to respect it as the Japanese art form. And I understand there's a rich history of haiku where it's meant to be, you know, prose based and about oftentimes nature and elements like that. But I sort of thought language is always evolving. The ways that we write are always evolving. And I wanted to make it my own. And so I sort of removed those constraints and said, my haikus can be about anything at all. I can use metaphors and personifications, which are not supposed to be allowed, quote unquote.
Just
let it go. You know, it's for you really at the end of the day. And so I removed those constraints for myself.
Well, I'm not going to put you on the spot right now to ask you to read one, but maybe think about it. Maybe in a minute here or two, I might ask you to read something you thought was just, you know, like fun or different or something that made you consider continuing to do it. You know, you jump into this kind of stuff and you start to write it, but then you have to be consistent, right? I mean, you have to stay with it.
You do. And that's the part that really is the hardest. You might have one night where you had a great productive writing session and you think, wow, there we go. I'm done. I've accomplished something, but it needs to be a habit. It needs to be sort of constant that you're always working on it. And, you know, it's that sort of 10,000 hours of work to really finesse and harness your craft. And that does take some discipline.
There's a musician in Chicago, a woman who writes a haiku, and she posts it on Instagram every day. She really does do it every day. And, you know, she has been said to have said that it is, you know, it stretches her creatively, not just with language, but it makes her think about lyrics and makes her think about musical phrasing and all kinds of things like that. Just that little, you know, 575 every day. And she forces herself to do it. Even when she doesn't feel like doing it, she does it. Do you find that sometimes you have to force yourself?
Absolutely. It doesn't always feel fun or easy. And I have often used something called the 100 day project to orient me, where it's like, I know I'm committing to 100 days in a row of doing something and sharing it. And one time I did that with haikus. And while I found that I was observing the world differently. It's like, I knew I needed to write something novel every day. And in order to do that, I had to perceive the world around me to find inspiration. And so I found myself taking my daily walk that I would do every day, and I was looking up instead of down. And I noticed gorgeous stained glass windows above me that I'd never seen before. And I was able to use that as inspiration. And it's, you sort of need to be more alert and receptive to the world around you to force yourself to find that daily inspiration, because sometimes it won't come on its own. You really need to be persistent and find it somewhere within you.
Yeah, I like that idea of just being more aware. Mm-hmm. And that takes work sometimes. You know, we live in a fast-paced world, do this, do that. You know, especially if you've got, you know, children or kids and husbands or wives and friends and family you're obligated to, and work, you know, just regular old 9 to 5 kind of work. But it's sort of, I tell people in workshops all the time, and people get mad at me when I say this, but it's like working out. You have to say, I got to get up and I got to go do it, or you just won't.
That's right. It is a muscle, just like working out. You've got to build that muscle of that writing and the resilience against when it feels like you don't have the inspiration or the, you know, the artist's muse. And it's just sometimes you've got to force yourself to get into that headspace.
So how does one get started? I mean, if you've never written a haiku, or maybe you did when you were in, you know, sometimes that's an exercise for elementary school students, right? If you've never done it before, maybe you've never even tried to write any poetry or anything of that sort, how do you get going?
It's a good question, and I wonder if it would be different for other people. But for me, what I did is I didn't do a ton of research in advance. You know, I didn't go off and read other people's haikus and sort of strike inspiration from that, although you could take that approach. For me, it was more just having a notebook, starting to compile ideas. You know, what are small, simple moments or feelings or weather patterns? I'm a Canadian. We like to talk about our weather. You know, what are those things that I would want to encapsulate in a haiku? And starting with those ideas was really helpful and generative, because then I would say, okay, today I'm going to tackle this feeling and how would I try it? And you try it a million ways. You know, I would only publish one haiku a day, but I'd write about six or seven or more on that same theme, trying it different ways to see which one felt best.
So was it based on emotion then? You considered an emotion first?
It depended. Sometimes it was a feeling, sort of a raw emotion that I wanted to convey. Other times it was based on an observation from my day or something silly or wonderful that happened to me. Oftentimes it was about the changing of the seasons, because that is something that always sort of inspires me to write. It's very generative for me to use that word again. And so it was a broad range of things, but I do tend to find that my favorite writing is the type that just devastates you, which is an awful thing to say, but you know, when it really, wow, really cuts to that core feeling and you can sort of summon that visceral reaction in someone else with your words alone. So yes, oftentimes emotions were what guided me.
Yeah, that's kind of the, I don't know if that's the goal of a haiku, but certainly the ones that I remember are the ones that sort of make me shudder for a moment. And I don't mean necessarily terrified or disturbed or shocked, or not necessarily that way, but just emotionally shudder, just like, ooh, that went a little deep. Those are the ones that stick with me. I mean, there's a lot of haiku out there that's, you know, funny, that's comic. That's, you know, there's, you know, tons of different ways to approach it. It doesn't always have to be the same sort of contemplative approach to it, I wouldn't imagine. Do you agree with that?
I definitely agree with that. And it also makes it more exciting every day. You know, if each day that you're setting down to write a haiku or anything, you're prescribing yourself that it has to be a certain way, that loses its effect after a while. You know, it doesn't seem as exciting forever. But if you're open to anything, you know, I wrote some about being caught with no pants on when a delivery driver showed up at my house and I wasn't expecting them. Like, I turned that into a haiku because it was funny and it happened to me that day. And I just ran with that. Maybe it wasn't my best, but it was something. And so anywhere you can find inspiration, whether it is emotional or funny or uplifting, just grab it and go with it.
Yeah, I think a lot of us have been caught with our pants down lately with the way the world is, you
exactly.
know, metaphorically and reality too.
So, that's right.
So do you have a haiku that you could share with us?
For sure. And it's hard because there's so many that I've written over time and I like them all for different reasons. Some of them I don't like at all, but I'm still glad I published, because part of the writing process is just showing your work, even if it's not the best. It's just taking that risk.
I agree.
You
know? It's part of the equation. It's part of the equation. Yeah,
it is. And if your goal is to sort of convey that thought in someone else's head, I mean, that's a feedback loop. You sort of have to know if you've done that, right? You sort of have to know if you've been effective at conveying whatever you were trying to. So, I'd love to share a haiku or two if you'd like.
Please. Yes, absolutely.
All right. I'll read a couple for you if you like.
Yeah,
I picked a couple that I liked. Perfect. The grass is green here. I don't care what shade it is on the other side.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, see, that's a visceral thing for me.
I know, right? I like that. Yeah. Sometimes inspiration comes from, you know, take a cliche or a phrase or something that everyone knows, right? Everyone knows the expression, the grass is greener on the other side. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to say that phrase in order to sort of summon it in people's heads. And that one was more just about, you know, I got a good thing going. Why would I have that envy for somewhere else? But it's hard to convey that within just those three lines. So that was a fun one for me.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll read one that's a little bit more, it makes sense in my head and might need a little context, but I really like it. Used to pluck petals, crude depiction of self-worth, not even your odd. And that one's to do with, you know, when, I don't know if little boys did this, but little girls used to take flowers and pick petals off of them and say, he loves me, he loves me not, he loves me, he loves me not. And so whatever the last petal was represented whether, you know, your boy of the week or whoever it was loved you back. And I liked that play on words of like, you know, if it's not even, you're the odd one, that person doesn't love you back. So just playing with those sorts of concepts in ways that sometimes do require a little extra context is always fun as well.
Do you ever think about, because I'll do this from time to time, you know, like if I post something that's a haiku just for fun, that I might also post a photograph with it. Have you thought about the connection between the two, the image and the words?
Absolutely. Like in the same way that your words can be loaded with a lot of meaning, you know, they're these like vessels that hold so much. Same is true for photos. And I found that especially if there was something that day that had inspired me that came from a visual reference, whether it was something I spotted on a walk or, you know, something that triggered the emotion, using it as a tool to convey a bunch of information in a small photo was really useful. And I ended up every day when I posted things, it would be focused on the words. I would sort of, you know, design it on a little tile card where the words are the main focus. But using photographs to convey a lot more with little is a really neat tool.
I like that. I like that. Well, I appreciate you sharing those with us. I'm sure there are many, many more. If we wanted to read more of them, where could we find them?
Yeah, definitely on Medium is somewhere that I tend to publish a lot of pieces sort of outlining my creative process. Courtney Simons is my pen name there, so it's easy enough to find. But also on Instagram, at Courtney Simons, no spaces or anything, is where I share a lot of my different creative projects, haikus and otherwise.
All right, Courtney, you've been a delight. Appreciate it very much. I have this fascination with haikus. Don't know if I really know how to write them all that well, but there's something about the language that just, the economy of language, I think, is what fascinates me. So I appreciate what you're doing, and I hope people will check out your haikus and maybe try to write a few.
Yeah, that's right. I hope people do as well, and I really appreciate the conversation. Thanks for having me, David.
Thanks, Courtney.
This has been episode 3 of The Writer's Shed. I'm David W. Berner. Our music is from iRay Music Production and interviews produced in The Shed. You can find out more about The Writer's Shed at writershedpress.com and The Writer's Shed on Medium. You can also sign up for our newsletter there and find us at Writer's Shed Press on Twitter. The Writer's Shed is available wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.